Open your Bibles to Psalm 115. I want us to read this beautiful, important psalm together this morning in just a few moments. Psalm 115. Before we read the text, I need to share something with you. In December, I'll be recommended as the executive director, treasurer of the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. Julie and I just made this decision a few days ago, and we want to share it with you first because news travels fast in that Baptist grapevine. Of course, this is a role that gives leadership and oversight and support to all the work that Oklahoma Baptist churches do together. This is a role that Dr. Anthony Jordan is retiring from just after the first of the year. And I believe the Lord's calling me to spend this next season of my life raising up a generation of pastors that can bring strength and health to our churches. Julie and I are sad today. We count it a high honor to serve the Lord with you. I consider being a pastor the greatest calling and privilege, and certainly being a pastor of this great church. You've blessed us and blessed our family these past 15 years. I plan to serve with you through Christmas and into the middle of January, and we'll have plenty of time to make a good God-honoring transition. This is the Lord's church, and He'll continue to be faithful together. So we can be sad, but let's be not afraid. And in the same moment, really, that I decided to take this new work, the Lord put this psalm on my heart to share with you today, Psalm 115. You might remember that these past 15 years, our mission statement has been, look what God is doing. He binds us together in fellowship. He brings us together for worship. He builds us up for service, and He sends us out with the good news of Jesus. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name give glory. You might not realize that that last part, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name give glory, is the first line of Psalm 115, a very important text in the Old Testament. And what I want to do this morning is read the 18 verses of this psalm, Psalm 115, together. And as we read them, I'll explain them to make sure that we understand them. And then I want to apply this text in two ways to our lives, to the life of our church this morning. So you follow along as I read Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name give glory. Because of Your loving kindness, because of Your truth. And now remember, the name of the Lord is His character. More specifically, it's His revealed character. It's His reputation. To Your name give the glory. That Hebrew word glory means weight. He carries the weight around here. He gets the credit. We acknowledge His greatness when we give Him glory. And specifically, two of His characteristics are named, His loving kindness and His truth. Those are the two most important words used in the Old Testament to describe the character of God. Loving kindness is that Hebrew word hesed, loyal love. He's the covenant-keeping God. Because of His grace, He keeps covenant with us. And truth is the word amen. His faithfulness, His dependability, His firmness. Verse 2, why should the nations say, where now is their God? But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they cannot feel. They have feet, but they cannot walk. They cannot make a sound with their throat. Those who make them will become like them. Everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Pause there. Hold your finger in that place. This is a song that was written to be sung antiphonally, where a leader sings his part and the congregation responds with their part. And his part is, O house of Israel, trust in the Lord. O house of Aaron, the priest, trust in the Lord. You who fear the Lord, people who were not born into Israel, who were not Jewish by birth, but who came to the Lord from a Gentile lifestyle, trusting in him. Those who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help. And this little leader says, calls the people to trust in the Lord, and they respond by declaring, he is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord. The angels praise him in heaven. We praise him on earth. We live to praise the Lord, the psalmist said. Spurgeon, writing about Psalm 115, said, though the dead cannot, the wicked will not, and the careless do not praise God, yet we will shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord, the psalmist says. Well, consider this from Psalm 115. You and I, have glorified the Lord in our work together. Now, we can glorify the Lord in this time of transition. In my leaving and in you carrying on the Lord's work in the interim and in establishing a new pastor in the months to come. One of my favorite Quail Springs Baptist Church members in the early years here was Neil Scott. And many of you remember Neil Scott. Neil helped me so much in the first 7 or 8 years here. And then he had to move to Houston because he and his wife were getting older and their kids were in Houston. And his last Sunday with us, I said, Neil, I'm sorry you're having to move to Houston. And Neil said, well, there's a sadness in it. And I've oftentimes thought of that remark because we have a tendency to make things either utterly sad or entirely happy. But Neil said, yeah, there is a sadness in it. And certainly there is a sadness for Julie and I in this transition. And three or four of you are probably also sad. There's a sadness in it, but there's also opportunity for us to glorify the Lord. And Psalm 115 helps us to understand the two primary ways that we glorify God in our lives, in his church, and even in this season in the life of Quail Springs Baptist Church. They're not complicated, but they're emphasized repeatedly in the text. This is a psalm that's about giving God the glory, not to us, but to your name give glory. And the psalmist helps us to understand that we glorify God primarily in two ways. The first is this: trust the Lord. Don't trust me, trust the Lord. The psalmist teaches us that we glorify God, we give him weight when we trust him. And so we read over and over again, repeated in the heart of this psalm, verse 9, 10, 11. Trust the Lord. He is your help and your shield. In fact, a part of the beauty and the power of this psalm is the way it's crafted to be sung antiphonally in such a way that allows the psalmist to repeat this over and over again. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. He is your help and your shield. And we know that the New Testament teaches us that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, that he is the chief shepherd. And we remember that Jesus makes this great promise in Matthew chapter 16. On this rock, I will build my church. So one of the chief ways that we glorify God is to trust him. To trust him. One of our grandsons was with us over the weekend. He's just starting to toddle a little bit, crawl all over the place. And he likes to play with me, and he enjoys Julie. But when the chips are down, who does he want? And there's something glorious about that, isn't there? It glorifies her when he runs to her. It magnifies her faithfulness to him, his trust in her. His trust for her puts her character on display. And when the Bible says the Lord is our shield and our help and our shield, those are both refuge words. We can trust in him. We can run to him. Of course, the opposite of that is that fear dishonors the Lord. An overwhelming kind of fear. And at this point in the life of our church, fear will disparage our work. It will diminish his glory. And so we glorify God in the midst of this transition when we act like we believe that this is his work and we trust in the Lord. We glorify God as we trust in the Lord. And the psalmist would have us know that we glorify God when we praise him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We glorify God when we praise him. In fact, nearly all of the vocabulary of praise in the Old Testament is present in this psalm. To praise God is to give him glory, to give him credit, to recognize his worth and his weight, verse 1 tells us. To praise him is to brag on him. Hallelujah. Praise is a word that means to brag, to boast in God. And to praise him is to bless his name, the psalmist tells us in verse 18. To turn your face toward him, to give him pleasure, to put a smile on his face. And we learn in the scriptures, particularly in this psalm, that to praise the Lord is not primarily about how we feel, it's about what we say. It's not just about what's in our heart, it's about what's expressed. It's not just something that's a private reality, but a public declaration We praise him publicly, expressing the glory of his name. So that verse 17 and 18 say, the dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But as for us, we bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord. If you're here having life and breath, then your purpose is to praise him. You've heard the name William Wilberforce, who fought to abolish slavery in the British Empire for over 46 years, battling in Parliament. Wilberforce was only 5 feet 3 inches tall, but he was a giant in the faith. He loved the Bible. He memorized the Psalms. And his diary tells us that on the day that Parliament finally passed the bill abolishing slavery, he went home and spent the evening meditating on Psalm 115, verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory because of your loving kindness and because of your truth. Consider how this psalm teaches us to praise the Lord, to bless God, to shout hallelujah, to glorify his name. Verse 15 tells us we praise him because he's the maker of heaven and earth. And verse 12 teaches us to praise him because he remembers us. He's mindful of us. Verse 9 teaches us to praise him because he is our help and our shield. And verse 3 teaches us to praise him because he is a sovereign king enthroned in the heavens. But most of all, verse 1 teaches us that we glorify his name, we bless him, we praise his name because of his loving kindness and his truth. Now, with those two words, we began to move toward Christmas. His loving kindness and his truth. His loving kindness is his grace toward us, the fact that he treats us according to his character and not ours, that he gives us not what we deserve but what we need, that he has a love that is loyal to us in spite of our shortcomings, his loving kindness and his truth, his faithfulness. And as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially in this time of the year, when we hear the psalmist call us to praise God, to glorify his name for his loving kindness and his truth, we should think of John chapter 1, verse 14, where John speaks about the incarnation of Christ by saying, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." His loving kindness and his truth. That in Christ Jesus, God became a man to live that perfect life and die his once for all sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary. That through his death and burial and resurrection, we might have forgiveness and new life that lasts forever. So that we can do what the psalmist tells us we should do. Bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. We glorify God no matter what season of our life. We glorify God when we trust him and when we praise him. Bow your heads with me for prayer. Lord God, we praise you because you alone are worthy of our praise. You remember us. You reign and rule seated upon your throne. You are indeed our help and our shield. our provider and our protector. You're good and you're great and you're worthy of our praise. Father, I pray that in every season of our life, even in this season, that we would glorify your name as we trust you and praise you. As we trust you and praise you. That you'd be glorified as a God who is not dead, not a figment of our imagination like the idols of the nations, but the God who is living and real and faithful and active. The Lord God of Israel, who's delivered us in the person of Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Be glorified, Father, as we trust you and praise you this season. Let's continue a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed. We have opportunity now to respond to God's word and to his Holy Spirit. In a moment, we will sing a great hymn of the cross, the very bedrock and foundation of our faith and of our existence together as a church. I pray that you'd use this time to respond to the prompting of God's Spirit in your heart. Some of you may feel led during this time to use these front steps as an altar, a place of prayer, and come and pray. Pray for our church in this time of transition, that we would glorify God as we trust him and praise his name. Some of you may want to come and with some other public response. It could be that you've never trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, and this invitation is an opportunity to you come trusting him, praising him, turning from your sin and fleeing to the Lord who is your help and your shield. This invitation is your chance. Let's respond to the Holy Spirit together now as we stand together and sing, You Come.